Good evening, everyone, and thank you for coming. This evening, I'd like to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for the chapter this evening. And just before we start reading, I'd like to pray and commit this meeting to the Lord. Dear Lord God, we just thank you again for this evening that we are able to come together freely. And I just pray that you would work here tonight and you would be glorified. I pray that the words that are said would be spoken through you, from you, and that your light would shine forth here tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight I would like to talk on 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and the key verse that I'd like to look at is verse 7, talking about the light that is shining from us. The word light is found 245 times in the Bible. And the light is it's something that gets rid of darkness. When we have light, it shines. And when we have light, the darkness is gone. So I'll start by reading verse 18 of chapter 3. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, as we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto the death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, what is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Well, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I've been told that I think it was John Martin, said, never stop preaching Jesus as light. And also, it's interesting, this morning, Mr. Dave Robertson mentioned that on the table that we had before us, There were little cup vessels. And the vessels had a purpose. They were clean. They were set aside for Sunday morning. And in a sense, we are like vessels as well. In the big picture, we're just like plastic cups. And the one thing that he mentioned most of all was God wants clean, humble vessels for him. So I can't say that I've mastered this in any way myself, but I'd just like to present what I found from this chapter. And there are three specific things I'd like to go over here tonight. The first one is, what is the light that we have been given? The second thing is, how does God's light of the gospel work in our lives? And the third is, why do we have a reason to persevere through all these circumstances? So there's a what, a how, and a why. So first of all, what is the light? The light, it says, is the gospel of God. And it's something that is shining into our hearts. I'd like to look at what is this light? This light is lasting. And it's unfading. If we went back into chapter 3, it's talking about Moses and the glory that was on his face. Verse 7 says, Israel could not look steadfastly to behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. So we see that the glory on Moses' face was temporary. It was fading away. Another thing that is temporary is our bodies. We're fading away. Physical life is temporary. Another thing is this whole world. It's passing away. There's a lot of references that I could refer to. One is found in 1 John 2, verse 17. It says, and the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. So there's the temporary on one side, and then there's the lasting light on the other side. So we see that the light is lasting. The light is also true. And this is an important note. When we're sharing the gospel, it says in verse 2, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. The gospel is to be made clear, not hidden, not mixed up with deceit. So the light is true. We think of a lot of different people around making promises. They say that what they're going to do, they're going to keep. And quite often, it doesn't necessarily happen. But what God says, he said, is true. And that's a challenge for us. Philippians 2, verse 15. You don't have to turn. I'll just read. It says, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in this world. So in that sense, when we work with people in the world, are they able to see that there's truth in us, that, as the verse said, that we are shining as lights in this world? Also, Psalm 100 says, for the Lord is good, for his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So we see the light is true. And the light brings glory to God. The light is not what we have to offer. And it's about Jesus Christ. We see in verse 5 and 6, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And it's God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." And really what we are is we're just his servants. In Matthew chapter 5, maybe we could turn there, Matthew 5, verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So light is something that it can bring hope in a dark place. If you're in a dark room, you can't see anything. It's like you're going through a dark tunnel and you come to a place where you see a light at the end of the tunnel. Or it could be like a lighthouse. If you are in a dark place and you see a lighthouse, it's giving you direction. It's like giving you guideposts where you are. And it's for the glory of God. So there's these three things about the light. It's true, it's lasting, and it's to bring glory to God. I just thought of a verse in a song that we sometimes sing. It says, "Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor sailor, tempest-tossed, striving now to make the harbor in the darkness, may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the waves, some poor sailor." I can't remember the rest of the line, but along the lines that we're to keep our lights shining for God. The second part that I would like to talk about here tonight is how does God's light of the gospel affect our lives? So we talked about what the light is. Now we're going to talk about how does it affect our lives. And the first point that I'd like to bring across is we know who has the control. And how it affects our life depends on whether we realize where this power is coming from. And that's brought out in verse 7. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And I think it's in that way, so God gets the glory, and we can't say that we did it on anything on our own. Just a reference in Matthew 28, verse 18, "Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Our power has to come from Jesus. But in verse 7, it says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So it's comparing us to frail earthen vessels, but it contains a precious treasure with the gospel of Christ. God uses even the weakest vessels so that the power can be seen that it is of God and not of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved it is the power of God." And then verse 27. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So without Christ, we're helpless. And it's only when we're humble and broken that Christ's light can shine through us. And I just have a little illustration here tonight. Just going to dim the lights. So if we think of this as a vessel, it's dark. I have a flashlight here. And when I shine the light into this vessel, it's very difficult to see through it. But we read that it's when we are broken that the light can shine through. If we are willing to let the Lord work through us, it's like this here clear picture, the light shines through. Also have a box here. It's difficult to see any light shining through the box because it is basically, it's basically sealed up. So very little light's shining through. But when we break the box, like we broke this box, then you can see the light shining through. So that's sort of the main point I'd like to bring across. It's when we're defeated, Christ is victorious. When we're weak, we have Christ's strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if you don't remember anything else, just remember the Rice Krispie boxes. When they're broken, the light shines through. So God's light affects our lives when we realize where the power comes from. And once we realize where the power comes from, it will affect our choices as well. First and foremost, the most important choice someone will make is whether they will receive Christ Jesus as their Savior. But after that, for the believer, it's also going to affect the way he responds, the way he acts, and also the words he speaks when he's talking with people. And when we go through troubles, do people know where our strength is coming from based on the choices we're making? And that's not something that's just once in a lifetime. It's something that we make every day. We make choices. Sometimes small choices, sometimes larger choices. And sometimes we make the wrong choices. Everyone makes wrong choices. Sometimes we make the right choices. And when we go to make choices, it's important that we look to the right place for direction. And that's kind of like the light. It gives us, it makes things clear. So we can know what the wisest choice is to make. Just a couple references. Psalm 119 says, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And Proverbs 6, verse 23, For the commandment is a light, the law is a light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life. And what's seen in our hearts going to come out. It's going to come out when we maybe get caught off guard. What's on the tip of our tongue is what comes out. But a verse that was read this morning, 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I guess, looking at verse 13. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So in our choices, what will people see, and what does God see in our hearts? The third point on how God's light affects our life is, how does it affect our life in faithfulness? So this is kind of related with choices, but how faithful are we each day? It's definitely easy to get off track and sometimes wander off. I was studying in 1 Kings, I believe it's chapter 19. In Elijah, he had just done a great and mighty thing, big contest on Mount Carmel, and destroyed 450 prophets of Baal. But the people didn't change, not permanently. Jezebel didn't change, and she was out to get his life. And even Elijah, who we think of as a really great person, he lost sight of what his goal was, and he took off into the desert, and he lost faith. So if Elijah failed, how much easier it is for us to fail. Looking at verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. And then verse 10, manifest in our mortal flesh. It's a daily commitment. It's not a, as I mentioned before, a once commitment. You commit this at one point in time, and then after that, you're all fine. It's something that is daily. And there's a verse I found in Luke 9, verse 23. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily, and follow me. So there's the word daily. Also, another point I'd like to bring across in faithfulness is, are we growing? I was told by someone once, a paramedic instructor said, if you ever come to the point where you stop learning more, you stop learning more medications or more treatments for people you're working with on trying to save people's lives. If you ever come to the point where you're not learning anymore, it's time to get out, because then you're going down. And I kind of thought that's true with us as well. If we're not growing or seeking to learn more, then really it's like we're going downhill. If we're not growing, we're probably going backwards. Along with faithfulness, there's a verse in Luke that says, maybe you should turn there, Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, in verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So I wonder, are we faithful in our jobs, in our work? Are we trustworthy? Are we honest? I read a quote on a Sunday school paper from last week's Sunday. It said, "A little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in a little thing is a big thing." I'll just read that again. "A little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in a little thing is a big thing." So we looked at what is the light, and we talked about that. We looked at how does God's light of the gospel work in our lives. And there were three things. We know we need to realize who's in control. It affects the choices we make, and it affects how we walk and work in faithfulness. And that brings us to the last, section that I'd like to look at tonight. And that's, why do we have a reason? That's the why. Why do we have the reason to persevere through all circumstances? Go to verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where we started. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." So the first reason why we persevere is because we received mercy. So we talked about that it's the power of God, not ourselves. And if we look at mercy, he showed compassion on us. And the reason we love him is because he loved us. So it's important, I think, that we remember it's not about me. It's not about us. If we just look around or visit, talk with people, there's people all around in deep need. In our daily lives, do we remember that we received mercy? And also, in remembering that there are people around us who are in deep need, we can also remember that God showed us mercy. He knows all our personal needs. He knows ones that we might not even realize that we have this need. And he knows them. Every perfect gift, every good gift is from God, is from above. And he never changes. Lamentations 3:22 says, "It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." So he wants us to be living a life that blesses others and brings glory to God. And he wouldn't want us to be a blessing to others if he didn't know it was going to bless us as well, if that makes sense. When we are blessing others, we are blessed as well. And God designed it that way, because he wants to use us, because he's such a great God, and because he's a good God. I found that a word for mercy is found 341 times in the Bible. We know God cares about each of us, and he knows where we've been, where we are. He's merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plentiful in mercy. And he won't forget us. He knows us all the way through. So we have reason to persevere because we have received mercy. The second point is because of the resurrection. We can persevere because of the resurrection. This was mentioned this morning in the first service. Every human life is eternal. It's lasting. And we serve a living and risen Lord. And because of this, we don't have to have a fear of death. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. A lot of people who don't know this or don't have this hope, they live only for today or the next day, and maybe just for this world and what they can get out of it. But if we know this, that there is a resurrection, we'll be looking to invest our lives, not just spend them. Dennis Purcell spoke at the park service a couple weeks ago, and he brought across the point that all the pleasures and ideas this world can offer are only going to bring disappointment. And only true fulfillment is found in Christ. There's a need everyone has within them. And unless they have Christ, there's always a spot that is not fulfilled. Another verse is in 1 John. I know there's a lot of references here. But 1 John chapter 3 says in verse 2, speaking about, the resurrection. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then, especially verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So because of the resurrection, we can persevere and continue on because we're being purified every day. The last point here on the reasons why we persevere is because the inward man is renewed. It talks about this a fair bit at the end of chapter 4 as a reason why we do not faint. It's pretty evident to all of us that the outward man is perishing. It says the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And the last verse, 18. We look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So how is the inward man renewed? It's when God's life is seen in our death to self. It's our physical bodies are growing weaker, as I said. But within, we should be renewed each day. God's promise that he will not let us be tempted more than what we are able. He promised that he'll give us strength to bear for every task that we have. He says in 2 Corinthians, a later chapter, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power may be of Christ, may rest upon me. And he goes on to say that he takes pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And if we went back to 1 Corinthians, there it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptations also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. It's important that we remember where our sights are on. Where are we looking to? Is it the circumstances around us, or are we keeping our focus on Christ? The afflictions that we have in this world are small, it says, compared to what is what is ahead of us. And so in that way, it's important for us to be farsighted and not just be thinking of things that are going to perish, because they're not going to last anyway. So remember, be farsighted. I have a lot of references here. I know I've read a lot. I think I'll read one from 1 Peter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So inwardly, we should be growing. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, because it's his power. So we looked at what is the light that we have been given. And we've seen that the light is shining through broken vessels. It's the light of Jesus Christ. And there were three things we talked about on the first point. The light is lasting. The light is true. The light brings glory to God. Then we looked at how does God's light of the gospel work in our lives. First thing we looked at was knowing who has the control and knowing where our power is from. It affects the choices we make and how we live in faithfulness. And finally, why do we have a reason to persevere through all circumstances? And it's 3 points that we had there. Because we received mercy, because of the resurrection, and because the inward man is renewed. We sang a song this morning in the first service. And just the last song we sang, I'd just like to read a verse from that song. The song is, "We Are by Christ Redeemed." And the second verse says, "Our earthen vessels break, the world itself grows old, but Christ's our precious dust will take and freshly mold. He'll give these bodies vile a fashion like his own. He'll bid the whole creation smile and hush its groan." So hopefully we can remember this week. Hopefully I can remember these things this week. And I know I've messed up lots of times, and there's still more choices ahead of us, though. I think that's everything I had to share tonight. And I'll just close with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God in heaven, we just thank you that you are the light of the world, and you are pure and right and just. Help us to see that the light is from you, and to be broken in our lives, and to let your light shine through. I pray your blessing on each one here tonight, and tonight and throughout this week. And just thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.